Welcome to the Wahoo Central Podcast, which we record every week in our studio at the McHugh Center right down the hall from the men's lacrosse office. I'm Jeff White from VirginiaSports.com, and my guest today is the Dean of UVA Head Coaches, Dom Starzia. Dom, I think this is your 15th or 16th appearance on the podcast.
Is it that many?
No,
actually?
It's not that many.
No.
So welcome back.
Thank you.
Season 24 for you as UVA's head men's lacrosse coach starts next weekend. When you ventured down here from New England in the early 90s, would you have envisioned such a long stay and career in Charlottesville?
No, I don't think so. I mean, part of it is clearly you don't know what to expect. And I would even go back further than that and suggest to you that I probably never would have guessed I was going to stay in coaching this long.
Right.
This is my 42nd year as a college lacrosse coach, and it's just been a wonderful ride. And back to the days when I first started coaching, and my father would be saying to me, "By the way, Dom, when are you going to get a real job?" You know, the thought that I always thought I was going to be an administrator somewhere down the road, and I just learned that I prefer the atmosphere in a locker room to a boardroom, I think, and might be a little gene defect there somewhere, but I just came to grips with the fact that I'm a coach, you know, and that's what I love doing, and I still love doing it, you know. So it's been a real blessing to be here at UVA and in the Charlottesville community, and we've had some fun doing it, and hopefully we can get off to a great start and have a memorable season.
And you get to wear sweatpants to work at least some of the time.
That part of it suits my personality, I'll tell you that, very, very much so.
Virginia is number 8 in the preseason coaches poll. Based on what you have back, what other teams have back, does that strike you as about right, you know, as inexact a science as preseason polls
are?
Yeah,
I mean, I think we're, I think there's a couple of obvious returning favorites. I see Duke and Denver and Notre Dame in that category, and then, Maryland has got a fairly veteran group, and then I think there's a bunch of us in the very next group that includes Hopkins and Carolina, and probably Syracuse, some teams like that. So, I like the fact that we bring back a fair amount of experience, and I think we start off in a good place, but we have to, we have to demonstrate that we're up to the task at the same time, and I think a couple of important teams fall into the same category.
You have two preseason scrimmages, the first of which was last weekend against Maryland. Then who do you have this weekend?
We're up at UMBC.
How did the Maryland scrimmage go? What do you look for in scrimmages? Does the final score matter much, if at all, to you?
No, we purposefully, my philosophy is not to even put the score on the scoreboard. I know that there are people that are sitting there watching it that are, tweeting out every play, every ground ball and all. But, we generally come up with a pre-scrimmage strategy in terms of our substitutions, and very rarely does the score impact what we're going to do in terms of our substitutions overall. And, especially in the first scrimmage, you're trying to, there's a combination of, sort of trying to get your team ready and still trying to make some personnel decisions. So we decide beforehand that we're going to take a longer look at this guy that we're not certain is ready to play yet, but we need to see him against competition like this. And so, if he sinks a little bit, we're going to let him do that so that he comes to terms with it and we can see it in action a little bit. And, in scrimmage in Maryland, we scrimmaged, it was a good team that was probably almost 2 weeks ahead of us in terms of their preparation. We'd only been back less than 2 weeks, actually. But I thought our kids gave a solid effort, and I thought there were some things to like. Our face-off guys, we didn't win a face-off in the first 20 minutes, and that hurt us against a team that wants to play at a deliberate pace, so we didn't feel like we had the ball much early. Mm-hmm. But as I was hopeful would happen is that the face-off guys got better as the scrimmage went on. It was the first fall that we haven't had a fall scrimmage. So for us, it was our first competition since the end of last spring. So we had some guys that were kind of getting back up to speed and all. But, I don't even know whether or not I would have preferred that we won the scrimmage if there was such a thing. I think it's more helpful to find out what you need to work on and be able to do that. And there were enough things that were hopeful signs for us that I feel like it was a great experience for us and good work overall.
You opened the season February 13th against Loyola at Kloeckner, weather permitting at Kloeckner. I think this is a little later than the past couple seasons. Didn't you have a February 5th or 6th opener a couple years ago? And is this by design or just the way the schedule falls?
No, well, what happened was that we wound up adding Loyola to the schedule 2 years ago, and we didn't really have a date for them. And so we actually played them on a Thursday night. We went to Loyola, and when Navy dropped us and Georgetown dropped us as a scrimmage date, we went to Loyola. They said they would scrimmage us. Then they came back and said we really would prefer to play it as a game. We agreed to do that. We didn't have a date for it. But we always knew that we would get into this Saturday date, which I think we started last year in 2015. And there's a lot of talk in our sport about starting too early anyway. And so for you to describe this as a later date, it just sounds a little strange with all the conversations we had recently.
Is college lacrosse, along those lines, is college lacrosse wed to finishing on Memorial Day weekend, or could the season ever start later and maybe end 2 weeks later or something?
Nothing is ever as simple as it seems. And so the thought that we've had declining attendance at the championship weekend the last, 7 or 8 years. And so people are trying to imagine every possible way to help that. And a lot of thought about just pushing the season off Memorial Day. Why don't we have a later season like baseball has and some other sports like that? But it's complicated. You're keeping teams on campus longer. It's an expensive proposition. If the regular season was going to go longer and you went past the end of your school, that's an institutional issue for people. So it's just not that simple. And what has happened in our sport is, with the growth of the conferences, which is a relatively recent development in the last, 6 or 8 years, all the conferences now, require teams to play conference games in those best weekends in April and March. And so the only flexibility we really have in scheduling now is earlier in the season. So when people say the season should be later, then my response is always, okay, I can understand that. And I might prefer to practice when the weather was a little bit better. But, then the Virginia Loyola game, which was Loyola's best attended game a year ago, and the Virginia Drexel game, which is always Drexel's best attended game, those games are just not happening. You have Hopkins Navy. Everybody wants Hopkins to play Navy, but, it's happening this week, because they just can't find a date now that Hopkins is playing in the Big Ten. And so these things are, like I said, they're just always a little bit more complicated than they seem. And I think the kids, too, I think the players are wired to be practicing nowadays. There's a lot of excitement afoot. And so I just tell folks, come on, just get yourself a good coat, and get out there, I think there's some really interesting matchups, early in the year.
One of those for you, you play Syracuse on March the 4th here at Kloeckner. This is traditionally an early season game, I guess, from dating back to when Syracuse was an independent, not part of the ACC. Could this game ever fall in April, be more of a warm weather game? It seems like it's always right around March 1st.
Yeah, and actually, it used to be the opening game. Yeah. There were the years when Virginia and Syracuse opened the schedule with each other, and then we both pushed back to an earlier start. Interestingly enough, also, the game has always been a little bit safer bet when we've played in Syracuse on that weekend in March, because you're inside in the dome. What happens in the conferences is that if we wanted to move that game, we just can't move it. Like, we can say to Loyola, if you don't play us on April 15th, then we're not playing. We don't have the ability to be able to do that in a conference. If we wanted to move a conference game later and Syracuse didn't want to move, it would probably go to the conference office. Right. We've been fortunate with that game over the years. We've generally had pretty good weather. I think we've played it at home and at night now, maybe the last two times. Again, that's a product of
TV, right?
TV and the conference. And so, it wouldn't be my first choice for date and time, you know, but it's where we are, you know. And we have a larger question, frankly, about our schedule overall in the dates and times of our games. But again, it's related to the conference's relationship with TV and the ESPN folks. And I think we need to have a larger philosophical discussion about this, you know, probably in the off season sometime, because I think it really does hurt our home schedule.
You look at your roster, and you really only have two seniors who are in leading roles this season, Greg Cahalan in the midfield and James Pennell on attack. So, I mean, you're really, in one sense, playing 2016 with your 2017 team, aren't you?
Well, James Pennell and Greg Cahalan are two of our very best players. Yeah. We're going to have our hands full replacing those guys a year from now. But, you know, it's been, you know, we haven't quite had the end of the regular season the last couple of years that people have come to expect from us and what we expect from ourselves. You know, and I tell folks, look, we've just been a little snake bit, you know, personnel-wise, injury-wise and all. And I'm not complaining about it because I've had my share of good luck over the years. But at the same time, I feel as if, you know, the next couple of years we're going to, you know, talent-wise and experience-wise, we're going to get back to where we need to be. You know, last year was quite extraordinary, frankly, with the inexperience, you know, as a result of, you know, some graduation issues and injury issues and stuff. And, you know, so, but I think over the next couple of years, between the recruiting and the players we have coming back, and I feel like, you know, we just think our roster will settle down a little bit. And you're right. I mean, you know, we're going to have largely the same team a year from now. You know, at this time when we do this next year, we'll be talking a lot about a lot of the same guys.
Two of your key players, Tanner Scales and James, missed all or virtually all of last season with injuries. What has it meant to have them back? And, you know, missing Tanner on the defense made a young group even younger last year. What's it been like having him back?
No, but he was back in the fall, although not back quite at full speed. And you could just feel the uplift in confidence having him there. You know, he's one of those guys that, you know, generally going to cover the other team's number one, and so just assume that role, and everybody understands that about him. And so there was a, you know, it was just a comfortableness quickly with having him back there for everybody. Now, you know, Scott Hooper and Logan Greco in particular, you know, started for us last year as first years, and now they're back, and they just seem a year older. And so, you know, with Tanner in the lineup and Scott and Logan a year older, you know, we just seem more comfortable at the back line. And it may be that we have to hold the fort down, so to speak, at that end a little bit while some newer offensive guys kind of get their feet on the ground. But I'm very confident that we're going to be able to do that. And, you know, like I say, we're off to a nice start at the defensive end of the field. I mean, again, I know we'll probably talk about it, but when you throw in Barrett and Mike Howard and all of our short sticks back with another year to go and stuff, you know, like I say, I think we have a talented group at the defensive end.
I mean, staying at that end of the field, I think you told me in the fall that, I mean, this is one of your most talented short stick groups, isn't it? With McNamara and Falk and Milliken and maybe others.
Yeah, there's a freshman too. This kid Matt Jama, and boy from Massachusetts, who's going to be very good. You know, he's a little wild at the moment, but when he learns the discipline and all of it all. But you like that kind of young, he's a kind of a young Mustang, you know. And when he learns to manage some of that, I think he's going to be terrific. And, you know, and so I think that's, you know, those are four of our better players, period. And I think overall, when I, you know, look at things, we haven't had that. We didn't have Carlson and Will. You know, Jack took the most of the reps last year. We had another body there, which really helps us. So I think we had a little depth to what we had in the experience coming off of last year. And so I certainly expect that we're going to be able to lean on those guys going forward.
You ever tempted to play McNamara on offense, or at least as kind of a true two-way guy?
Yeah, you know, it as we. as we look at ourselves, we are actually working on some things with Will staying in the game offensively. I think he'll do that. He reminds me as much of Billy Gladding as anybody that we've had over the recent years. You know, clearly has the ability to be an offensive player here. May secretly, you know, prefer to be doing that. He hasn't said that to me yet. Billy made no bones about it, actually, going into his senior year, that he wanted to play on the first midfield with his buddies, you know, Rotelli and A.J. Shannon, and you know, wound up that defensive group playing back there really suited him. I see Will in the same mold. I think we're going to be able to create a number of offensive opportunities with Will coming out of the defensive end. And, you know, like say when Matt Jama demonstrates that he, you know, has got his feet underneath him and ready to play a little bit more for us, then we will be able to do even a little bit more with leaving Will in the game.
What other first-year guys have impressed and are likely to, you know, play a lot this year? I guess Ryan Conrad is the first.
Ryan Conrad is, you know, he's running in the, you know, amongst the first midfield line. We've been running three or four guys there together in different combinations. And, you know, he's actually not your typical Baltimore player of the year type. You know, you think of that as a guy that's finely skilled and you know, he actually needs to clean up his stick work a little bit. But he's a very rugged athlete and picks it up. He's one of our better defenders, very physical player, you know. And so he just looks like a college middie to me, kind of more of an old school kind of college middie. You know, when he gets, you know, when he gets on the cage a little bit more, a little more precise in his passing, he's going to be terrific. But he's going to get out there early because he does a bunch of other things really well. You know, so Matt Jommer at the defensive end. I think Zach Ambrosino is as a long stick. You're going to see him in there some. You know, we really like this little Mikey Herring on the attack. You know, very smart, got both hands, goes in there. You know, reminds me of, you know, kind of Owen Van Arsdale at the same age. And so those probably those four or five guys I think you're going to see out there early.
Zed Williams is at the midpoint of his college career. And statistically, I think he's ahead of where many of the best middies to come through your program have been at this same stage. When you think about just the cultural change he had to undergo coming from a Native American community, moving to Charlottesville, getting integrated here, how do you kind of assess what he's done so far and what do you think he can do?
He has been a it's been a revelation in lots of ways. You know, I think he has brought so much to the program and to the community overall. You know, coming out of a small public high school right on the edge of the reservation in upstate New York, you know, there was a cultural, you know, transformation for him. And so we've tried not to contribute too much to all the things he had going on in his life by saying, hey, Zed, you got to take the ball every time. You know, you got to be the man for us. And so even in spite of that, you know, not asking that, you know, I've had people say to me, you know, where has Zed been? Or, you know, I think he was 20 and 17 last year as a sophomore. That's pretty amazing. You know, you're in the 20 and 20 range as a middie in general playing the schedule that we play. And clearly, you know, he's capable of adding to both of those totals. I do feel like, you know, just before he went home for the winter break, completed his academics semester, and he's in good standing that way, and so he's on good footing going forward this spring. And I did say, we sat down in my office, and I said, okay, it's time for us to expect more from you and ask more from you, and I think he is fully ready to take on that mantle. And so, you know, what we have lacked just a little bit at the offensive end is sort of that first-team All-American caliber guy, you know, that can kind of take the ball in all circumstances. You know, Ryan Tucker was close to that as a middie last year. I don't care what the final accolades were like. But that's what we need Zed to be. We need Zed to be that lead dog for us, somebody that you take your cue from, pole or no pole. He's just ready to make plays. He may not finish everything, but things are going to start with him. And I think he fully accepts that's what his role is going to be going forward.
One of your less experienced attackmen, but a key guy, Mike DeMario, sophomore now, final two seasons of high school, had 154 goals, 82 assists. So he's a guy who has scored a lot in his career. I know last year was kind of up and down for him. how has he been this season, this fall, spring, and what do you need from him?
Yeah, well, he's made steady progress throughout the year. He's had a really good, first 6 months of the school year, and is primed and ready to go to start the season. He's a left-hander on the attack, and so a lot of opportunities kind of go his way. He's a scorer. In the scrimmage against Maryland, we don't see the ball a lot early. He has a couple of opportunities, though. He could have put some goals in, and he kind of rushed a couple of shots that he doesn't score on, and so he's still a young guy. Even at the end of the scrimmage, I was saying that the next day when we met with the team, I was talking to them about against a team that wants to hold the ball the way the Terps like to do, it's important to get a couple of goals early. We're tied going in the second quarter, as we approach halftime, but we could have had a couple of more from a couple of young guys. Michael had a couple of chances. Corey Harris had a chance or two, and I firmly believe that those balls are going to drop for us as the season goes on. Again, with the schedule we play, we need everybody to kind of grow up quickly. There's not a lot of places to hide when we're playing. But I think Michael is going to be a dynamic, exciting player. People are going to enjoy watching him play. And before it's all said and done, I think he's going to be a big goal scorer at this level. And we need him to be.
Denver won its first NCAA title in men's lacrosse last spring. Is it good for the sport to have new champions? It may not be good for the University of Virginia to have new champions. Is it good for the sport to have a new champion, particularly one west of the Mississippi?
Right. I mean, anytime it's not Virginia winning the championship, I can very easily see the bigger picture here, and I think it is very good for our sport. It's raised a lot of eyebrows out west. There are a lot of other, again, similar we were talking about earlier, these things are more complicated than they seem. I think there are a lot of schools that would be adding men's lacrosse, if they could. Between the gender equity question and the finance question, it's complicated, But I was on the committee, on the NCAA committee, when we voted to go to the AQs to award automatic qualifiers to the NCAA tournament to the conference champions. And I got blasted by the former athletic director at the University of Maryland. I have that letter in my file, because it wasn't good for Maryland and Virginia to be given AQs to these other teams. But I think the growth of the AQs has made all the difference in terms of the growth of the game overall. All these schools down south, the Richmonds and the Furmans and the Mercers and the Jacksonvilles, that all added lacrosse because they have access to the NCAA tournament. So I would tell you unequivocally that Denver's winning the championship is good for the game, and our chore is to bring it back to Charlottesville.
All right, before I let you go, I'll switch sports on you. Before you picked up a lacrosse stick at Brown, you were on the football team there. I know you follow that sport closely here. Any impressions of the new staff, early impressions of the new staff?
Yeah, very, very impressed. I've had a chance to meet Coach Mendenhall a couple times, and been very impressed listening to him talk. And, the secondhand reports that we're getting from what's going on the practice field with the football guys is that there's a precision that's required now in terms of the workouts and all that I think we all can learn from, and that's what we all want to do. We're all looking for ways to get better. I'm looking to build a better mousetrap, and it sounds like the Broncos are bringing that to Charlottesville. It'll be very interesting to see if they can how that manifests itself come fall. But it sounds like they were pleased with the results of their early signing day, and it's still about the Jimmys and the Joes, and so they got to continue to do that so we can get a couple more of those guys. Then it'll be fun to watch these guys in action.
Good. Well, Tom, thanks again for your time. Best of luck this season.
Always a pleasure, Jeff. Thanks.
This will be a busy weekend for UVA athletics in Charlottesville. There's wrestling at Mem Gym against Duke on Friday, North Carolina on Saturday. Men's tennis plays Elon and then Furman on Saturday at the Boar's Head. And on Sunday, women's basketball plays Virginia Tech at JPJ. Remember to check virginiasports.com for schedules and information on all 25 of our teams. As always, thanks for listening, and I'll be back next week with another Wahoo Central podcast.